Well, we say you do it through Project Phoenix, mm-hmm. and we believe that the Project Phoenix is mm-hmm. is a partial solution to that. Mm-hmm. And then we could look and see what are the results, what are the outcomes.
Project
and
Phoenix.
I strongly believe that there is.
Stay tuned, Barbados. Project Phoenix.
I also just want to make mention of the fact that some months ago, I was on this program with Corey, and we were talking about capital punishment and so forth, and the sentiment of the Barbadian public was one of unforgiveness, mm-hmm. you know, strong mm-hmm. animosity toward those individuals who would have contravened the law, especially in instances of very serious criminal matters. Whether that may be because they were either connected to individuals that happened to, or it was a family member or whatever. And certainly many of them have the right to feel some measure of anger and so forth. But I think that even before we talk about partnership, or I mean, as we talk about partnership, at the same time, we also as a society need to come to the place where we are willing to give those individuals a second chance so that we put more resources behind preventative rather than punitive programs. As you mentioned earlier, it costs the public purse approximately $59,000 per year per person. Right, who's incarcerated at Her Majesty's prison, and that is a huge amount of money. So we see how crime impacts on us as a country. You know, if those individuals leaving prison are not rehabilitated, guess when they come back to your communities, who are the persons that whose lives are going to be in danger? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think there needs to be a shift in the way that we think about rehabilitation, in the way that we think about second chances. Mm-hmm. There are individuals when they come out of prison looking to change, they may have a skill that they may have acquired through the prison program, which has been doing a really excellent job, I must say, and commend them for that. But when they go to jobs, because one of the first things a company asks for is a police certificate of character, then that person who's now trying to change is judged based on those convictions. And I can understand that businesses need to protect their investment and so forth, but I am saying that maybe some stamp to say that this person has been through this program and we have full confidence that, and that those businesses sign on and say we are willing to give individuals a second chance. And that's where I think that there needs to be a more collaborative effort on these matters. Otherwise, we will continue to see that rate of recidivism stay at 60% or even claim.
Or come down. Whoa, the person that made the suggestion is actually telling me that yes, I could put you in contact with them so that you had actually trained them in the force and is a mentor. Could you send one of your papers? I'm going to write the number down on there. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you all in contact. We need to get some action in this country, right? Yes, we have discussions and discussions are great, but action is better. This one is asking, could you ask Mr. Reed? Okay, where it goes. Right. I would like to ask Mr. Oral Reed if he's saying that persons he says need psychiatric help don't want to work. Yeah, let me just leave that part. You are the better person to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying that in some instances, persons are would have gotten involved in crime sometimes out of the need, where there's a need for psychiatric support. And it may not be the individual himself, but it may be that circumstance, that mm-hmm. medical condition mm-hmm. that may have contributed to that. Mm-hmm.
And you need a little bit more. You need some help after coming out, right? We just want to make sure we have that clear.
Yeah, but that's all basically right. It. That's all I'm saying.
All right, to Imran. Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, forgiveness is all well, but in the world over, when justice isn't seen to be done, it's taken out on the streets. That's just the brutal facts. I think what they're saying is that forgiveness is all well. And this what really got me on this one is there's a lot of Christian people. I don't even believe in the second chance. It says 70 times 7. Because second chance, some of these people fold up 2, 3, 4, 5. I know people fold up to 8 times before they made that 180. And we give up on people so fast. And then we go and run into church on Sundays and say we're being like Christ. One of Christ's thing is forgiveness. But they're saying in the ideal world, forgiveness is all well, but they feel as though because of justice, it'll be taken out in the streets. Many people come back, they will go back. They would treat them as though they feel that they are supposed to be treated like lesser beings.
Yeah, no, all I'm saying is that I think there are four purposes of a prison institution, just to protect the average citizen, to prevent criminal activity from continuing, to act as a deterrent, and to just punish crime, right? And to rehabilitate it, sorry, those four things. And all I am saying is that if we are going to place emphasis on rehabilitation, then as a Barbadian people, we have to be a little bit more empathetic or sympathetic toward those individuals who may have made a mistake or made a mistake or two, but then decide that they want to change. All those people need is for somebody to take a chance on them in some instances.
Okay, Brass Tacks Sunday, 5 minutes afternoon. If you're now joining us from church, we are talking Crime Stoppers Barbados. We are looking at the whole idea of how we can work with an organization like Crime Stoppers to reduce crime in Barbados. We are talking to Imran Richards. He's a counselor with the Cooley Head program with Crime Stoppers. And we also have in studio Mr. Oral Reed. He is the chairman of the board of Crime Stoppers Barbados. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Oh, hi, good afternoon. It's Lucy here. I've spoken to you before about the kites, okay? I'd just like to relate, what happened yesterday evening. Again, huge, 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 massive kite went up about 6:30, 6:45. Couldn't get through to police. I went over there to St. Leonard's School, Richmond Gap, Wilkinson Road. And to cut a long story short, within 5 minutes, I was surrounded by about 20 to 25 youths. The caretaker, the poor man of St. Leonard's School, who said the police had been called that same morning because there was a cricket match on the grounds and something else had happened and some of these boys picked up rocks. So that is what happens when you confront it. I can understand people being scared, but my problem is that I'm not. I got
right. All right, the producer pulled the plug on that one, but I want to actually put this in context because this lady had called many times in relation to flying kites and being harassed by some young people. Some of those same young people turn up at the studio a day and they sort of give their side. And for me, the disappointment in this, and I'm going to link this directly to an organization like Crime Stoppers Barbados, is what role can we play in mediation? Because when I look at both sides of that story, somebody is going to be seriously hurt or killed. Somebody in that particular situation, this is out Westbury side, Westbury Cemetery, their whole set of young people flying their kites, they say they're responsible young men, they go to school or they go to work, and they have this lady and some others who constantly harass them. On the other end, the lady saying that she was actually abused, she was attacked, she went to the police report their court cases and so on. This is a very, very serious incident. This is a very, very serious situation. And these things, this, how can we stop that crime before it happens? Because a crime is going to happen here again. Mm-hmm. A crime is going to happen here again. Because they're saying they're investing in their trade of flying kites. And she comes and she cuts the kite, or they come and they cut the kites. And all their money goes, you know, flying through the sky. She's saying she can't rest and she's telling them about the kites. And yet they're trying to attack her. They're attack her or her husband or whatever. Let's take this, not this type of activity, not the specific activity. We don't get too specific. But how can we take something like this? How can Crime Stoppers deal with a situation like that? They call Crime Stoppers and they report we being harassed. She called Crime Stoppers and say I'm being attacked. How can you work with a situation like that?
Let me share your view. That's a very challenging situation there. But I do share your view that there is a need for some form of mediation. Mm. As you know, Crime Stoppers is basically that anonymous line that you feed that information to, and our intent is to really get the organization with responsibility for dealing with matters of this type to mitigate and to before you have a situation with a serious crime. And I do think that this is a matter that the police ought to look very seriously at. Certainly we have community police officers in the various areas. My mind went straight to who is the community police officer, mm-hmm. and how can he begin the process of mediating between the complainant and these persons from the community, who we will argue are engaging in an activity that they see as appropriate as persons within the community. Mm-hmm. So yes, the police do have a role. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, again, this is why we said earlier that there is scope for non-governmental organizations to want to step up to deal with certain matters. But we have still to be careful because police have a role. Mm-hmm. And the role of the police is to deal with those situations that present and have the propensity to develop into something of a criminal nature. Mm-hmm. Now, you said there's going to be some serious crime. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, I heard what you said. And I would imagine that there are police officers who are listening to this program. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that they are already planning to intervene before this develops to that
extent. I would like to make, I don't usually do this, but I would like to make a public call for that to be dealt with. I'll tell you why. In speaking to those young people, because I say three threw up short here and it took me to where 20 of them were, right? And they were like, we are being harassed. Corey, we don't want to go to prison. Corey, we don't want to get in trouble, but we're trying to keep quiet. And then she calls and she said, well, they actually surrounded the car and was banging and actually called them by a name. I don't know if the producer let it go. So it was cut. So I'm not going to repeat it. Mm-hmm. No, if they may come to a point where there's that breaking point. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? Where they can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then if she used terms like these mm-hmm. to them, mm-hmm. you understand that they would say, look, this lady, she's not even from here. She doesn't even look like us. And I just know that is going to escalate. Mm-hmm. I just believe that. And I'm going to leave that there and we move on with the program. Mm-hmm. 11 minutes afternoon. Brass, that Sunday, you're on the air. Brass, that Sunday on the air. And if the guys listening or if the lady listening, please, if you all could call me after the program, I think we can get in contact with the community policeman
yes.
and see what we can get done.
Get a sit down and try to come up with a conclusion that is mutually beneficial.
Mm-hmm. But as I said, and as my producer would agree, the terminology being used, it can be hard to mediate, but I think mediation should start now before before too late.
Right.
Brass, that's good afternoon. You're on the air. Speak to the telephone. Forget the radio right now. Brastats, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Corey.
Yes, please.
Good afternoon to you and your guest.
Good afternoon to you.
Yeah.
Long time no here.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But we might not be there on the air, but we're there in spirit.
True.
This question, though, is for Mr. Oriel Reed. Not this question, this comment is for Mr. Oriel Reed. I'd like him to respond. I have spoken about this, Mr. Reed, many times on the call-in programs, but before getting any real response, I would like to know if it is possible to refurbish Glendary Prison, and make it a place for juveniles, well, not juveniles, but young adults, too old for Dodds, the government industrial school, but too old for there, but too young for prison. So I wonder if it's possible it could refurbish Glendary and make it into a school for the remands, young remands. You know, when you're on remand, it's compulsory to go to school and learn something there. And try to separate these young people from the hardened criminals in prison, who I know can turn these young people into some very serious criminals if they are associated with hardened criminals in prison. Your thoughts, Mr. Reed, and then you want to make a second comment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand what you're saying, but it is based on the assumption that we don't have you should be aware that Somerville currently exists, and they are functioning very efficiently at that institution. And I'm sure that in the first instance, if there need to be an enhancement in order to provide certain additional services to persons there, that they would want to look at the existing building to see how they can facilitate that and perhaps have additional resource persons in order to provide a wider range of counseling services to persons at that facility, but it already exists. But I understand where you're going and you are looking to utilize that facility, which I'm told that the members of the Historical Society and other organizations mm-hmm. seem to have an interest in mm-hmm. For that particular purpose.
The whole idea, sir, is to separate the young from the vulnerable, I should say, from the hardened. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Glendale would have been a good place to start. The other thing I want to know is why do we have people in prison doing almost nothing, and the government has to beg people to come out and help, please help, to clean up this country and to clean its sargassum sea? Is it not possible to bring some of these people, the ones convicted, obviously, out to help in this cure? I never go off your listeners, sir.
Thank you, Carla.
Well, that is something that could be explored. You would appreciate that there are a number of persons who are currently organizing to assist with matters of that type. It is something that may have to be looked at. What also has to be borne in mind is that there are persons who are under the care and management of Her Majesty's prisons, and should you bring them to an environment, there would need to be a measure of care for those individuals who are brought into.
And I think we also need to look at the various conventions that Barbados would have signed on to related to human rights and so forth. And I don't think it's a matter that is as simple as just taking prisoners from where they are and putting them on the streets to work.
And that's it. All right. Let's take another call. Brastat Sunday, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon to you, Corey, and your guest.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I was looking at if you can fully rehabilitate persons who are going to be coming out as ex-inmates. We have two institutions where you can do a pilot program at the Defense Force and the Police Training College, where you can have cadet police on standby, train within 6 months, and as well as the Defense Force, so that you can utilize them when the possibility arises. But when you come out as an ex inmate, and then you're out here languishing, you know, you're going back to the same environment and so on, you're going to get a lot of recidivism. So I was always thinking about using up some of these young people into the police training school, where we go to train as a police for the 6 months, you know what I mean, and as well as Defense Force. And I think you would be doing a human service if it was to give that an opportunity. What do you think about it? Let's hear you.
Well, it's interesting that you chose two organizations where the matter of having a clean criminal record is really the focus for a number of reasons. But I take the point that you're making, that there need to be some structure through which persons can be brought out and engaged in some useful areas of the society. And I'm sure that if we examine what you've said very closely, there may be some organizations into which those individuals can come and make a contribution to the wider society.
Yeah, because if you send them back, if they're coming back out, and you expect the private sector to endorse them, and they're looking at the police certificate character, and then that's where they're going to come to a program, where they're going to be rejected. But then something has to be done with that police certificate character. Either it is cleanup or expunge or something, because a private sector employment department, when they examine that, you know, they're going to be rebutted. So government, in my opinion, or some organization, will have to do something similar to what I've just mentioned, so they can go right into full-time training. And I mentioned those two institutions for that purpose, because they are disciplinary organizations, and they can collate with the rehabilitative behavior and programs that they're encountered in the prison, and therefore can carry on through there. That's my contribution.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Corey, I wouldn't want us to lose two things that were mentioned. That gentleman that said he was from West St. Joseph, mm-hmm. I would say is now the Grantley Adams School, that made that point about the meals in schools. Mm-hmm. And the question which was raised by Imran with regard to the statistics of persons who who would have made reports to Crime Stoppers. I just want us to look at that. Because I think that with regard to the meals in schools, yes, it may be looked at as another expenditure that you're asking government to underwrite. But there may be some utility. What I take away from that is, here's a man who is saying, what if this is a possible reason for why you are having certain behaviors in schools? Mm. What if? We can't discount it, you know.
Mm, it's true.
Right? Yeah. And it is something that ought to be looked at, and this kind of creative, fresh ideas that we need to identify, because nobody seems to be able to put a finger on these things. Mm-hmm. Nobody seems to be able to, everybody talking all over the place. Mm. But at the same time, we need to have possible solutions that, if tried, might be able to mitigate some of what is presenting itself to schools. And I think there is some usefulness to that suggestion. Mm-hmm. The second one is that...
Before you go on, can I make a comment on this? Because I think this is just critical. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention this as... So Barbadians get an idea of some of the situations that we encounter in schools, which can potentially lead individuals to become vulnerable or exposed to violent activity and whatnot. I was speaking in a class, and this young lady... She gave the most trouble, always very aggressive, always responding in a very retaliatory matter. You know, I am going to do this, I am going to do that. And by the third week, because we treated her different to, I guess, how she may have been accustomed or what she may have expected from us. By the third week, that young lady, we were in the session, and she tapped me on the shoulder. My colleague was speaking at the time. And she tapped me on the shoulder. She said, sir, I could talk to you. She said, I hate myself. I said, what? She said, I hate myself. She said, I don't like myself. And then she showed me her wrist. She showed me her wrist. She tried to cut her wrist on, and you could see the marks. I mean, serious marks. Mm-hmm. She said, I tried to kill myself, sir. I said, wait, why do you hate yourself? She said, I don't like where I live. I don't like... Yeah, I don't like my life, you know. And she's look at my uniform, and when I looked at her uniform, dirty, you know, and stuff, and shoes almost bursting out, and I went on to find out where she lived, and which I won't see it. I found out where she lived, and then the teacher shared with us that she's had a very difficult childhood. You know, sometimes she comes to school hungry. You know, sometimes she comes to school and the uniform, you wonder if the uniform was washed and so forth. When that young child comes to school, on the hierarchy of needs, mm-hmm. education is far from her mind.
Yes.
You know, and she's thinking about food. Mm-hmm. She's thinking about her deportation, how she looks to the public, how people are perceiving her. And so she's going to focus on every other thing except the thing that is important for her life to move her from where she currently is. And she falls into the system or falls through the system, you know, and is rated off as a horrible person, a troublemaker, a trouble tree. When all that young lady needs or needed was some care and attention, some food to eat, you know.
Don't forget that misguided care and attention she will get when a guy comes and tells her how pretty she looks.
Yeah, that's right.
And she is his snow cone. Yeah. And we all know what the storyline that runs after
exactly.
that.
Exactly. The second instant is this young man at the end of a session, he came up to me, he said, sir, and this was, I could see the reluctance in his eyes. He said, sir, my father tells me he hates me, that I am a mistake, that I am stupid, etc. And by this time, the water is in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And he goes on and he says, since my mother died, it has gotten worse. And before he could get the words worse out of his mouth, he begins to break down in front of his classmates. And I break all protocol at this point and I hug him, you know, and he begins to weep in my arms. And we put him on to the guidance counselor and so forth. And so he's getting the intervention that he needs. But we see a particular behavior manifesting itself in the school. And we think to ourselves that that young person is just, you know, being difficult, but we don't understand that there are underlying contributing factors that we must take into consideration that may very well be adding or contributing to the, to why they're behaving the way that they're behaving. So I just really wanted to underscore the point that you were making to say that there's some of these things that we need to have our finger on if we're really going to make any meaningful change and impact on some of these young people.
And I have very good reason to believe that there are a number of principals of secondary schools, of schools generally, that are very concerned about some of these matters that are brought to their attention. They are doing all they can within their area of responsibility to address them, but they need assistance. And we believe that these are gaps that need to be filled, and that, again, non-governmental organizations have a role to assist. We can't say government all the time. Once the evidence begins to point in a direction of need, there is a we have that responsibility to see how we can fill those gaps and to take the appropriate action. And this is really what Crime Stoppers is really all about. I know this notion of Crime Stoppers, but crime stopping is really our mission.
Correct.
Whatever we have to do to stop crime, we are willing to engage on. So we are talking about an organization that is focused on taking a call in order to help with bringing those persons who continue to present with a particular form of activity that you see and that you have a recording of, and you have a CAR number, and you know the faces of those persons, and you can share that information anonymously. But we haven't just left it there. We are now evolving to a position where we are saying, what else can we do in order to address what we are seeing? And we are identifying those strands. And this is why I like that man who called to say, is it an issue of persons who are hungry and need to have a meal, right? Is it a case where we see that parents need support? And how can we engage with someone to address that need? And we know that there's a significant gap at the level of parents. And there are people who always say, this is something new. It is not new. You only got to look at the legislation that goes back to 1961 in the case of England and 1963 in Barbados, where that legislation sought to look at parents and how we can make parents accountable for their children. So it tells you that this is nothing new. Don't mind them talking, making it sound like we got a generation of parents that didn't know what they're doing. There has always been a challenge for parents. And nobody has done anything significantly to fill that gap either. Have you ever considered what happens to a child, especially since we realize that there are a majority of cases where you have single mothers who are looking after 3 and 4 children, where those children leave home at 3 o'clock, may get home by 4:30, but the parent is out working and can't get home not before 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And yet you're talking, what structure exists at the level of the community to fill that gap until such time as that parent can reunite with that
child? We got a lot of work to do.
So there you have a lot of issues out there. And Crime Stoppers is intent on addressing some of those things. This is sober reality. The reality is that we are going to need support as we seek to engage with persons who are experts in the field. I want to take this opportunity as well to make an appeal for volunteers to come forward and to support us in our efforts. A lot of times there are many areas which we have, whether it is in area persons who have expertise in the area of marketing, persons who have the time to engage and to give support to persons like Imran, who is giving support to this effort in the schools. And by virtue of what he has shared with us, clearly you can tell that there are parents who should really need some support. And there are a lot of persons out there who are with expertise in guidance and counseling, with experience as social workers, who may want to come forward and share their information. And I'm saying, give us a call. Let us know that you're available. Call us now. Share with us your number so that we can get back to you and build our capacity to provide a higher level of support and care for the people of Barbados. Remember, the issue of crime, in my view, in this country, we are all in this together. It is not a matter for the Attorney General of this country. Far from it. It is not a matter for the police. It is all of us in this together. And until we come to the conclusion that we can share information and that we are going to reclaim this country and we are going to bring those who ought to be held accountable for their access to justice, I think
Whoa. I want to echo the sentiments of Mr. Reed there. And of course, you can send your numbers to the WhatsApp or you can give us a call. Remember, the WhatsApp is 266-4862. I'll pass them on to him. Some person will send their number and name already, and I'll send them to him as they come in on the WhatsApp. It's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. When we come back, some interesting WhatsApp, some more interesting calls on this. The Brass Tack Sunday brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.